Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Importance of tradition, which we have called a code. That which guides and regulates us. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Watch the word walks. Disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, let that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Look at that verse 6 again. That walks not or walks in disorder. That means we must watch one another's conduct. If conduct matters not, how would I know that he's walking in disorder? That means I must be on the alert in the change of attitude of brethren around me. You mustn't have friends who cannot note it and take note that something has changed about you. He says, who walks in disorder walks not after that tradition that he has received. The earlier days as a believer, you ask people, ask you, how is your Christian life? Sometimes you have brethren, they will come to you, some will come out of busybody. But we have healthy brethren that will come to you and say, bro, Wale, bro, Tunde, we have observed this of late and we are concerned. You know, those are believers worth keeping around you. We have observed. We've observed this. We've observed that. We've observed that there's a strange sister that comes around you. A strange woman, a devil sister. Observe the strange boy. We've observed the change in your DP. Observed your conduct on social media. We've observed that you have been absenting yourself from the service. We've observed. We are not to be unconscious of such changes amongst us. We take note. I've observed in this sudden change in how you do things. I knew you when you joined this church. You were brought in from deeper life where you tied everything. Your head, your shoulder, your knees, your toes, they all belong to Jesus. Now you read the word. You can have some pancake foundation. You put all that. Then you are now going excess. Yes, it's not. I know you don't want to start wearing skirts like Loma. I understand. But now, your skirts are jumping up. They are jumping up. Where are they going to? Sister, who walked disorderly from that pious sister, looking holy like a cherubim, to his sister, all of a sudden, don't let me say those things, they are unprintable. Sister, brother, what's going on? All of a sudden, your hair is like that of a shoemaker. What's going on? Brother, you started cutting your eyelashes. Boy, you are shaping. Boy, they will ask you. Hey brother, we have noticed. You've noticed. Very healthy brethren. Not those when they see you, all they are particular about is, is that your car? They say, when did you change your job? What are you doing? You bought that kind of car. We thank God. This church is really a powerful church. Better than just moving all over. You know, moving from coast to coast. See, you note those brethren who walked disorderly. That means we watch each other's conduct. This is not you. I remember a sister like that when she joined the church. You would think her hair was puff puff. She's laughing. I'm not looking at that director deliberately. And then all of a sudden, from where to where? This metamorphosis is too much. This one is from glory to glories. Go down. You watch them. There's some healthy watching a brethren can do for us. So note them. Note it. Draw yourself from someone who doesn't consider conduct. Withdraw yourself. From someone who does not consider behavior, withdraw yourself. One of the true fruits of true knowledge is the ability to restrain yourself even from your liberty. God what's called self-control. I've defined self-control to you many times as the ability to what? To delay immediate gratification for a more noble purpose. The ability to delay immediate gratification for a more noble purpose. It will apply to many things, legitimate things like food, legitimate sex, legitimate television, legitimate, you know, drink, food, things like that. But there are, and that's one of the things fasting teaches you. The ability to delay immediate gratification. Because if you are fasting and you are not hungry, are you sure you are fasting? You'll be hungry. But you are developing the capacity to delay immediate gratification for a more nobler purpose. And so we watch one another. Again, in verse 14, note that man. Because if you cannot note a change in people's behavior, that means something has gone wrong in your sense of judgment. I have to tell a friend of mine, we had moved ministry together. In fact, it was influential to how I responded to God's call upon my life. We had preached from coast to coast. We had dreamt big for the work of the ministry. When I was fumbling to mission work around Africa, he was such an inspiration. Every time I went for his meetings, he would say, my dear friend, the only one I know is a genuine missionary. And I would stand like that. My neck would be very long. Wear shirts, and my trousers would be like pencil. And then I would stand like that, the missionary. He would say so proudly of me. It was so encouraging. Pray with me. Dear friend, we'll go from place to place, teach the gospel. All of a sudden, it was university then. I just discovered that he was aspiring for a political post. His posters were all over UI. And I did not know. I just saw him. I didn't know the way I was. Now I'm better now. I didn't even say, how are you? As we saw after a while, we saw like I said, what's going on? Say about what? Say about what not? I see your face all over the place and it's not a teaching meeting. Straightforward. No packaging. He said, I was going to explain to you. Explain. We said, there's nothing you are going to explain. You are backsliding. Simple. That may be tough and rough and harsh, but it's healthy. I should be seeing posters of healing meeting, posters of teaching services. I'm seeing posters aspiring to be Tesla president. That's technology students are saying, is that it? You are? Tesla. Is that it? It's Tesla. Remember, it's Tesla. Like Teresa. It's emoji. You are losing it. note that person. So we should be there to note. Should be the capacity to take note of such things. Because spiritual health is discernible. You will know that you're profiting. 1 Timothy 4:15 may appear unto all. In Titus 2 verse 2, Paul says, let me even start from 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Look at the next thing he says in verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The word sound is the same word used for health, to be healthy. In the four gospels, it was used for physical health, physical well-being. Precisely Luke 15, I believe verse 27, it was used for the prodigal son. I'm looking for the verse. Luke 15. Okay. Can't even see it again. Oh, 27, I was right. Safe and sound. Sound means he came back, there's nothing missing. Used for physical well-being in the four gospels. But let me go to the epistles. It was used for spiritual wellness. Used for doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:10. Sound doctrine. Use in 1 Timothy 6 again. Verse 3. Concern not to wholesome words. Sound doctrine. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:13. You saw that yesterday. Hold fast the form of sound words. Healthy. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Healthy. All you want to hear is Christ died. All you want to hear is I'm crucified with Christ. All you want to hear is I'm seated in Christ. You don't want to hear walk worthy of the Lord unto all peace. You eat verbs. You like nouns. But you eat active words like walk, fight, flee. You see, that's religion. Content. Be thou an example. Verbs. Action words. Then you have itching ears. Itching ears. You like Carrie's camp meeting. You eat WCC. You like believers convention, you don't like workers convention. You like Holy Ghost meetings, you don't like prayer rallies. You like to have a pastor who you are listening to, hearing the teaching, you don't like the pastor to have you. You are no longer sound. You have developed itching ears. Itching. See, they no longer endure. That means sound doctrine requires endurance. It won't always be all nice and dandy. It requires endurance. Are you following what I say here? So physical health is discernible. 3 John 2. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Same word, hugaino. H-U-G-A-I-N-O. Be in health, spiritual soundness, even as thy soul prospers. Uduo, making, that is, I want you to make progress. If you surround yourself with friends that you are always talking about the past, there's trouble. There should be something in the now you are referring to. And if there's something in the future that you are referring to. How you know you're in a healthy relationship? You can, your past, your present, and your future are related. Know that there's a total disconnection between where you aspire into, where you are, and where you are coming from. There are people around you who can notice that you're not healthy. So let there be a health check. So I call this one the health and wellness coach. The wellness coach. Soundness. We will know whether somebody is sound. Acts 6:3. Look amongst yourself. Someone say, look among yourselves. That means you can know. Look among yourselves. Seven men of honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. We can know. Ah, that brother is a good brother. You know, there are some people that when they tell you there's a brother that they want to marry, or a sister they want to marry, you almost not pray about it. Depends on what I'm talking about. You say, ah, no, this is a brother in Christ. Or a sister. I say, ah, yeah. Without hearing from God, you just say, I think you should take some time. Take some time! Why in a hurry? Why are you rushing? I was talking to his dear sister a couple of weeks ago. What I told her years ago about not rushing into a marriage, she was all reminding me. It's not good to rush. I said, well, it's just... It's been years. I said, well, we just have to walk in the word. I said, Pastor, it's not easy to walk in the word. I said, don't worry, the grace of God is with you. I'm now the one encouraging you. Because there are some irreversible decisions. There's nothing you can do about it again. Be sound. Someone told me, I'm traveling. Where are you going? I'm going to UK. I said, did you just get a visa this morning? She said, I've gotten this before. I'd applied for it. I was just looking at the opportunity to tell you. Where are you traveling now? Is that it? So your departure is a rapture. And when that devil wants to do you very well, he will tell you not to tell some people. Don't tell them, don't tell them. Don't tell them, don't tell them. Don't tell them. And Mary kept those things in her heart. Keep it in your heart. They're no longer healthy. So you can discern people's health. And you will notice it. Don't take this for granted. All of a sudden, this brother begins to share some quiet jokes. I mean, we joke, you and get, and we, you know, humor ourselves. But suddenly your own jokes now have new narratives. Well, what's that? And you know, when you have healthy friends, you go, you're the only one laughing. So, what did you just talk about? What kind of quasi thing is that? Those are healthy friends. Healthy friends. They take notes. To watch you. Sister was telling me one time, earlier in her ministry, she was rebuked in the ministry. That's why she was in tears. I said, you know, feeling that pastor misunderstood me. No, spiritual person misunderstood you is still a test. So this time she was crying. He said, the brother just came and said, I understand. You know, yeah, that's what I was saying, you know. Pastor doesn't have to be right all the time. Just clean the eyes. Okay. Okay. It's not up to that at all. No, thank you. I'm not crying again. You leave the matter. What did we eat? Carry. What are you throwing?
You know, Luke 4 says, and Satan left Jesus for another convenient opportunity. Who has seen Satan before? Nobody. Are you following what I'm saying? Healthy brethren who take notes. Just like parenting. You see, they are rebuking somebody. And they are saying that. Healthy brethren will say the same thing. You to go and pray. To behave yourself. Not, I love you, brother. He's a devil. Not him. Sound brethren. You can see it. The prophet will appear unto all. If your behavior changes, was it? Don't come and be telling us, ever since I joined this church, I've made improvements. Let us see it. Enough of noise. I don't expect anybody to go on social media and write, wow, your place is here. Leave it alone. Let it reflect in your ministry. Let people be the ones telling you, don't say, I've been growing in the world, Pastor Lan. Pastor Lan says, I've been growing in the world. In fact, I've been so solid now. You are the one telling yourself, who will not pass his own exam? I'm asking, who will not pass his own exams? Let others be the ones saying it. I'm growing. I'm making progress. I'm now solid. I'm now sound. No. And your profiting will appear unto all. Sound men will see you. See it in your conduct. So, sir, I don't believe the new covenant, new creature, redeemed, born again, one with Christ, believer, righteousness, justified. Give me another one, please. Same as God. Above angels, believer. Can backslide. Is it not obvious now? Have you not backslidden? Look at your life. Okay, if it's not backsliding, what is it? Backflip? Well, the Old Testament. You know some of these small boys that, I don't know, they just heard the rumor of the word. What was even telling me? I discovered in the Old Testament, sir, that the word backsliding is used for idols. I said, go and check 1 John 5:21. Little children! Beware of what? Idols. So what's the difference? So, I never saw it. Because you are backsliding. Idolatry, walk of the flesh. So, if backsliding is going after idols, have you not gone after it enough? You are backsliding. It's an old teaching. It's not for me. It's titled backsliding. Is it available? Backsliding. I want some of those old teachings. Fear of God. Fear of God. Not just heaven in Christ. That's not all we teach. Give me another one. Law in Genesis. You know, Exodus. Come on here, get fear of God. All those doctrines you hear, they are built on these ones. Fear of the Lord. Consecration. It's one I taught years ago. When I finished teaching it, me myself, I was afraid. Running against time. I myself, like Moses, are exceedingly free and quick. You need such things. When you are sick, you don't take sweet things. You take bitter things. One of the reasons why I learned divine health was Nivaquin. My mother was a nurse. And she will stay there till you take everything. And my father will not even, after you have taken the vacuum and all the queens, my father will not bring herbs. You say, if you put seven up, it won't work. Put under the water. Ah! So when we give skill, you will take the vacuum, you take the water, and you do like this. But one day she was cleaning near the fridge. Ah! I said, probably. I just said, I'm one of them. My brother said, I was. We were not sick. She now gave us the thing. Would I be sick? Well, you are not feeling fine. You need bitter things. You need hacking. Hacking till you crack. Coming upon your soul. Not who you are in Christ. You're already there. You're in that one already. It's the one you are not in that we are talking about. You are not walking worthy unto all pleasing. Are you in church? So spiritual health is discernible. We can see it. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, we'll see it. A preacher can be careless. Very careless. That's why a meeting like this is very healthy for us. I have meetings I attend that all I go to do there. I've missed the last year's one, and I'm saying this next year, I'm not going to. All I go to do there is just listen. Just go there. Time to pray. Time to receive correction and rebuke. Just go there. That's all you are doing there. You don't introduce yourself as pastor there. And I see usher, I say, hey brother, sit down there. I just go there. Just go sit down. You are learning something. A preacher can be careless. You can be a doctor giving people drug prescription and all that, and you will fall sick on the same thing. He said like that about doctors, that they can be the most careless. They usually take things for granted. So watch yourself. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, take it to yourself. We'll see that shortly. A preacher should not be careless. Don't be careless. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Paul, writing to the Corinthian, the Ephesian church, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. It's not carefully. Circumspectly means carefully. You are walking like this. Just being careful. Being careful. Carefulness is not being religious. It's being spiritual. You are careful. Not as fools, but as wise. Many believers who are battling today, it was because they did not pay attention to little details. Very little details. It will amaze you that you see great men in the world, great men. You see that they fell for very little things. Things that you yourself, like, I can handle this now. But in the midst of all the activities, preaching, teaching, attending to needs, you may forget those little details. I tell your pastors, say, watch yourselves. Watch it. Sometimes they're having a debate over football and somebody just blows the lead. I watch them. I won't say anything. So I'll call them and say, look. It looks like it's just football. There's an underlining problem. Watch it. You cannot be flaring up over unnecessary things. Even things that are necessary, you should still not flare up. So as you are preaching and ministering, you may lose sight of little things. They say little drops of water make a mighty ocean. A little here, a little there. A little folding of the arms. Solomon says, and your poverty will come like an armed man from a far country. Little. Carelessness. You now become what you never dreamt you would become. If you are not careful, the things you criticized, you will eventually do them when you are not careful. Look at David. 2 Samuel 11. A man who was able to curb his emotions with Saul. Escaped for his life. Did all, now became a king. At this point, he had no soul he was going after anymore. Verse 2, 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass in an evening tide. It's also evening tide. You are relaxing at your unguarded moments. Unguarded moments. Yeah, you're not in church. You're not doing fasting and praying. You're not studying. You're listening to it. You cannot be listening to it. No matter how zealous you are, you can't be hearing the word all the time. Stop that. There will be sometimes you don't even want to hear the word. Most of them, when you are done with a conference, if you don't know this one, you don't know anything. You are done with a major conference. As you are leaving the conference, you don't want to do anything spiritual. Just want to watch football. Just relax. And those moments yet are dangerous. Watch this. And he arose up from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Of course, if not, you will not keep looking. Unguarded moments became careless. A man that was able to save his life from people coming to kill him, he ran, was in the cave, from place to place. Now, when there was nothing to run from, his ministry was not, it was not accepted. People are not listening to you. They are downloading from your website. You are no longer the same. The things you were battling before are not happening. Your books are not being read all over the world. They have been translated in 180 languages. Then you will see a woman. You will. You now saw a woman in that unguarded moment. See another man, Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10. The man cried, I don't want wealth. I don't want riches. All I want is the glory of God. I will trade you. Solomon! Because you don't have yet. Will trade you. Your account is red, no? Riches untold. Of course, it's untold. First employment letter. The money you have not seen before in your family. So 1 million per month. With a car, a driver, accommodation. Yeah? 2 vacation trips. All express paid trip. They now say Asia and America. Hospital bills. Pam. Insurance. Pam. And you see it. Now let the song start to apply. You saw the car. You know there are some cars. They drive you. There are some cars. You drive them. Exactly. This one will drive you. And take you to places where you should go. So, then he had made all the promises, all the commitment. I will follow you. I will seek for you. Until fame now came. The queen of Sheba, purportedly from Ijebuland. Everybody's claiming somebody. I dare not say this in my hometown. Because I'm royalty. But I'm not there now. So I can say what I want to say. She heard of his fame. And came. People kept coming to him. Men of war. They kept coming. She now brought precious things. The same things he didn't ask for now came. 1 Kings 10. Verse 13. And Solomon the king gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatsoever she asked. Besides, Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. She turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. What's it? From that point, Solomon became extravagant. You see, if you keep friends around you who are extravagant, you will be extravagant. Just living in vanity. Designer this, designer that. Even underwear nobody will see. Designer. Sailor. Designer, designer, designer. And not just that designer. Say, this one, designer, designer, designer. This, when you drink water, if they bring a cup, say, no. I use designer cups. Extravagant. You come to a conference like this, they show you where you sleep. You just go to your car, you leave. Why am I sleeping? Yeah. He didn't tell me this. See your car. The same people, God forbid, but if it happens, they kidnap you. You go to places where you have never been before. You'll be happy to sleep under a tree. Now, this is free will. Free will. Extravagance. Extravagance. Go on evangelism. Go on evangelism. Evangelism. You want to have a bath. Yes. Brother, we are going out. Hold on now. I want to be okay. I'm going to preach. You're on the field preaching. There's death on you. Say, what's this, man? Can I have a break? My share of leave. You want to buy Raguli or what do you call pure water? Perfume. Are you well? Extravagance. Soon as he met this woman, started living large. His cups, gold cups. As it were, what was God's blessing now became his problem. Chapter 11, verse 1. And Solomon loved many strange women. Not just one strange woman, many. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, everything just it. Became an idol worshiper. He was careless. Some people are just vain. Plan wedding. Went to get a wedding planner. 1 millionaire. You went to borrow the monies for wedding. Did you borrow the husband or the wife? Photographer, 500,000. Because you want the pictures to be like the days of heaven on earth. You went to hire a garden where you and your husband will do like this. What do you pay? 300K. Hire everything. Said the food will be 10 course meals. Men will eat if they can't go home. Extravagance. Yet the same you, your offering can never take away sins. That you offer year in, year out. This is you. Extravagance. Extravagance. Is what you don't have that you show off. You are trying to impress human beings that can never be impressed. If good music brings people to you, better music will take them away. Go and look at pictures of society weddings 10 years ago. They look like rubbish today. The things of the world will pass away. There's nothing in this world that can last forever. Whatever you think makes sense today, by tomorrow, even those who make cars, they'll do another model next year. Just knowing that human appetite is insatiable. You must have control. Self-control. Delaying immediate gratification for a more noble purpose. Contentment. Refusing to use all you have or have all you can have. Contentment. Contentment is different from poverty. Contentment is that I can afford to go 4 miles. Let me stay with one. I can afford to buy 4 cars. Let me stay with one. I can afford to have 10 houses. Let me buy one. That's contentment. I can afford $100,000 meal and not shake. I'll go for 1,000. That's contentment. Not going to the limits. Desiring below limits. Possessing below limits. That is contentment.
having food and raiment. Even though you can have, you can afford a car as well, let us be content. That's what he's saying. So you now love strange women. Another man will look at his something. Judges 16:4. You can never be tempted with what you don't like. I hope you know that. It's what you like. Places you love to go. Music that you like. The kind of men you like. Some of us still retain the kind of men or women we used to like when we're unbelievers. They see in your mind. You are believing God for a Christian to live like that. How? In whose mirror? Not the word. Judges 16 verse 4. Came to pass afterward, he loved a woman of the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. He loved her. And the woman didn't love him. He loved her. Watch the life of Samson. Uncontrolled appetites. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. Demas. Paul says, Demas. Being in ministry never takes care of your appetites. If you're not careful, sometimes it triggers it. Because you look satisfied. Complacent. 2 Timothy 4:10. But Demas has forsaken me, have been loved this present world. The word there is agape. That is, he was ready to prefer over. He was ready to sacrifice for Demas. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Referring to false doctrines, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith, pressing themselves through with many sorrows. Let us read that place together. 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's go. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pressed themselves through with many sorrows. Let's take verse 11 together. But thou, O man of God, pray about these things. Flee! Run! Flee. Watch those strange appetites. Love of the things of this world. Love of money. Love of women. Love of men. Love of extravagance. Vanity. You don't mind wasting money so that people will just admire you. You are living in vanity. You don't mind buying a wedding gown. 1.10 million. 10 million naira so that we can see it. Okay, where is the church on Sunday now? That's all. You don't mind wasting money so that people can be impressed. You are a vain person. That's what you are. You see, even some churches, they will waste millions just to do decorations and designs. And there will be no gospel in the entire atmosphere. You are living for vanity. We can't do without earthly things and worldly things, but we can reduce them. Just reduce them. Turn down. Turn it light. Turn it low. Reduce it. Reduce it. 2 John. Your love for prominence. You enter a church. You let everybody know you used to pastor 6 churches. What are you looking for? Prominence. Prominence. 2 John. Sorry, 3 John. That was a mistake. I wrote verse 9 unto you, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among brethren, resist not. He loves. Some people like preeminence. If you call them brother, their eyes will just change. Call them pastor, the baby in their womb will leap much for joy. Preeminence. They love to be known. Write your name in your chariot, you put a reverend there. Why? Just love preeminence. Don't love preeminence. Come on. Help us close the service. Take offering.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we go, is this thing in my spirit? Me?
I will collect the microphone from you.
Now say, praise the Lord. Amen. See you next week.
3 minutes. Collect offering. You are sharing testimony.
Get that brother filled with the Holy Ghost, usher. 12 to 15 minutes. And I just want to tell you that when I was a younger believer, when I started out in the ministry,
just no preeminence.
The pastor says, I remember in 2005, we're having a prayer meeting. When he's not there, you see your own disciples say, I remember in 1764.
Slight preeminence.
Check those things. Appetites. Strange delights. Check yourself quickly. Philippians 3. Hope you are learning something here. Philippians 3:19. I'll start from 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk also as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you, even what? Weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. See how we ended that discussion. He said our confession is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. That is, he lets you see that everything, this vanity you are pursuing, he said even your physical is vile. The word vile is something that is costly, something that is ridiculous. Yeah, but these people, they are into vanity. Have you discovered to pray in tongues 1 hour? Some people will almost struggle like they are carrying the cross to Golgotha. But to make up 1 hour, they are alert. They won't sleep off. 1 hour. Even some men. Yes. Things are changing. So whose God is the appetite? They mind earthly things. They glory more in their office position, glory more in their societal position than in their service for the Lord. They mind earthly things. You watch those things. Check yourself quickly, 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 quickly. Ensure, as you are taking note of others, you judge yourself. Matthew 7:1. Judge not. Jesus said that you be not judged. As Stephen makes proper contextual reading. For with the measure, with judgment, you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you meet, it shall measure to you again. Why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considers not the beam that is in your own eye? Verse 4. How would you say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Are you following this? That means, watch yourself first before you watch others. Judge yourself first. Judge yourself first. Some men criticizing those who tithe, who might be ignorant, truly said, because tithing is not is even so ignorant. As it were, to teach giving and want to talk about tithing. They're not related. But leave that aside, it may be ignorant. Yet you, do you give? How much are you giving in this conference?
should be helping the poor. How many poor have you helped in the last 10 years? Hypocrites. Touch yourself first. Touch yourself first. Remove the skyscraper. The WTC towers in your eyes. Before you remove the speck of dust in someone's eyes. Some have greater problems in their lives. Greater sinful habits. Greater malice. Greater demons in their lives. And they are after others. Remove the ones in your life first. Jesus said, "O hypocrite. Hypocrite." Never forget, you will not give account of someone else's ministry or someone else's error. You will give account of your own life. 1 Corinthians 3. In fact, let's start from Romans 14. Verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can we read Romans 14:12 together? Romans 14:12. Are you there? Let's go. For then, every one of us shall give account of others. Of himself. You will give account of yourself. Of your ministry. Before I judge what anybody does in their churches and ministries, I've judged our own 100 times. 100 times. Give account of your own self. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's criticism of other people's ministries. No, your work, of what of sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive the reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, it is by fire. So it's your ministry that will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5. Are you following me today? 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things others have done. No? Things that he has done, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You will not receive reward for what somebody has done well. You will receive for what you have done. So why not pay more attention to yourself? Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Look at how Paul cracked it. Take heed to yourself and to the flock. That means the way to take care of the flock is to take care of yourself. Because when the head is rotten, there's a problem with the body. You must ensure you're taking care of yourself. Watch yourself. I was going to say this tomorrow. Like last year, years before, when people come for a conference like this, they look born again. Ah, this meeting. Ah, you must not miss it. Oh, it must happen every year. Ah, I wish it could happen again next month. I've heard that before. Oftentimes, those people don't return the next year. They don't return. Because they are not watching themselves. Satan is not a docile enemy. If he watches that something has the capacity to change your life, he will watch for your careless moments. So you must watch. Judge yourself. 1 Timothy 4:15. Verse 4:16. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Then doing this, you save yourself and those who hear you. Look at Colossians 4. Colossians 4:17. Why do you think Paul kept writing to Timothy? Because we're at war. We're at war. Colossians 4:17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the message which I have received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Said to Archippus. Luke 12, verse 15.
I want us to read it together. Luke 12:15. You know, he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in Matthew 16. But look at what he also told them to beware of. Luke 12:15. Are you there? Let's read together. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of what? Go on. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He identified two critical things about covetousness. He identified anxiety. Anxiety and contentment. Anxiety. Anxious. I don't have enough money. Anxious. I've not changed my car. I'm using the same car. Anxious. 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 And why did the anxiety set in? Because you saw your colleagues, your friends, your classmates, your siblings. Anxiety set in. Most of what we are anxious about are people's expectations of us. It can be God's expectation of you. I don't know maybe who are too anxious about their prayer life, about walking in love. It's always about people's expectations about your life. I prayed for you on the first day of this conference. I believe it is working. That every pressure upon your life is off in the name of Jesus. Every human pressure from family, from friends, from associates, out of your life. No anxieties. No undue pressures. I must do this. I must do that. What if you don't? What if you don't? Take heed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So, watch out for your appetites. Your prayer life. Legitimate things. Television. Sex. Food. Habits. Some things are not sinful till they become uncontrollable. When they become uncontrollable, they become sinful. On the face of it, there's nothing wrong. But you can't even stop it. You can't fast. You can't do this. You can't abstain from it. Then it becomes sinful. So, you do a health check. Call it the wellness code. What did I call it again? The wellness code. A typical doctor. You go, they do a checkup. They check you. The fact that your eyes is working may not mean your ears are working. Am I making sense? The fact that your stomach is working doesn't mean your liver is working. The fact that your legs are working may not mean your eyes are working. So, when you check your spiritual life, check everything. An oversight on one can kill you. Hardly do people die because their entire body is not working. It's one area. Maybe a nerve sometimes. Maybe the heart. Maybe one of the veins that enters the heart. It just be something you didn't take note of. Maybe it's just a malfunction in the kidney that wasn't taken care of. It's never usually every organ of the body. So because one part is working, does not mean you should leave the other undone. Check it too. So don't just praise yourself because you are so prayerful and forget you don't study. Don't praise yourself because you give a lot in church and yet you're a bitter believer. Always bitter. Like bitter cola. Don't praise yourself because you are all forgiven, but you are very disobedient. Don't praise yourself. You are very honoring of pastor. Thank you, sir. Good day, sir. Good evening, sir. We do attend prayer meetings. Check everything. What did I say? Check everything. One unchecked area can lead to your ruin. Take heed to thyself. Everything. So your neighbor, say check everything. One malfunction of a car can create a big problem. Sometimes a plane is working very well. It may just be something. And that's it. It crashes. Check everything. You're doing well in prayer. What about Bible study? You're preaching the gospel well, but yet, so often, you go late to service. You like to teach, and you teach a lot, but you just found out that you are so impatient in listening. You are content with what you have, truly. You don't go after worldly things, but you don't give. Check it. Check everything. Do an all-round check. Don't ignore anything. What did I say? Don't ignore anything. Malfunctions of the body left unchecked often become cancerous. Often become a problem that can't be checked later. Check it quickly. Immediately. When you join the church or you join the fellowship, when Brother Alex will talk to you, you take it humbly. There was a contract that you took it and you go and listen. After a while, you started analyzing what he was saying. Analyzing it. Oh, I know why he said it. It's because of so and so. Something you never used to think about before. Something has gone wrong. I tell people here, I said, I knew where you came. Well, he said this, quickly you comply. Now you're a big man. You see, you frown your face. Something has entered. You did not check it. It will soon grow too big. Look out for appetites, number one. Appetites. Things that you just started liking. You are always on the net. And there are many things on the net. Spider-Man's net. All sorts of videos, music, all sorts of films, images. Check that appetite. Ensure it's controlled enough not to control you. Check the things you suddenly cannot do without. Check them. Little foxes spoil, they ruin the vine. Check your associations. All of a sudden, you have changed friends. You now have new friends. All of a sudden, new friends. Watch people who speak into your life. You are always on the phone with them. 1 hour, 2 hours. Associations. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Proverbs 13:20. The wise walks with the wise. The companion of fools perish together. Check those associations. Make sure that all your relationships are open to your church. Don't have private, secret relationships. Which is open to everybody. Because there are so many things you will not note that others will note for you. So many things that you will not note that others will note for you. A dear brother, I remember I saw him years later. He's a lawyer. I think it was a year ahead of me at the bar. He's a year ahead of me, I think so, yeah. When he was going to contest for the president of the student union, then there were younger preachers. It was 1995, I think. So he came for one of the programs, and we were doing Apostles of the Land, and we anointed him for the office. We prophesied over him. We're doing Samuel over David. But all sorts of prophecies came out. And the Lord says, he has given you the horn. He has given you the nations. Nonsense. I was there, so I know what I'm saying. So one day I greeted him again in front of you and I hugged him. Man of God, I'm holding on to those things you said. He had not won the election yet. They had not done the election. So his sister now told me, she just said, this brother, he mentioned his name. He said, He was our evangelical secretary. He was given to village evangelism. I noticed he has started moving some people and all that. I just said, you have to understand. You are too casco, sis. You are too casco. It's politics. He has to move with people now. These are the people that will help his. I gave releases because I prophesied. Eventually, the brother joined the cult. I mean, secret cult. One time in UI, they came to attack him. They stabbed him all over. A man, something that will have been a glorified thing, a glorying thing, if it was on the mission field. They are now stabbing you for a luta continua. Today he's not in the ministry. We spoke a few weeks ago, so say a month ago. Say that thing is a dangerous thing. You think he eventually became Nance president or so? I think so. I'm not sure. Let me remember. I think so. And that was expressway. Associations. People that speak into your life, they are already influencing you. They're influencing you. You think they're just career friends, but you have given them access to your life. Check your associations. Finally, check your ambitions. Suddenly you want to become this. After you left one seminar, they took you from your office, you tried to travel to maybe Germany. On so and so, you know, in your career. There's somebody now, after your career, just gave a motivational talk. TEDx. All of a sudden you are seeing yourself differently. And more of you, Lord. And all the people of the earth, put it aside. I can see my dreams. The ambitions just changed. Then you have to put one down for the other. Too bad. You start to want to become something that was never on your heart before. Check those things. Do a medical checkup. MFA will say spiritual checkup. Check it. Check that. Suddenly that thought that's been lingering on your mind, check it. Those words that you have found yourself saying, check it. Let nothing go unchecked. Have a wellness code. Have what? Wellness code. You get your conduct. You get the things that, if something new suddenly springs up in your conduct, check what it is. And when people spot it, don't just flare up. I don't understand what you're saying. Bro, I just noticed, what did you notice? I don't know, I don't get what you're saying. And you probably are saying it. I just discovered, you know, suddenly, you know, you are not approachable like before. No, well, you don't understand. I've been very busy, really. You just want to ward the thing off. Well, you don't say, it's in your body. If they tell you, and you have refused to listen, it is your life. Eventually. Jesus told the disciples, he says, pray. So he went out in the temptation. He said, Master, we do it. He came again. Last time he said, don't pray again. That time has gone. And that was the time they were saying, oh God. He said, don't bother. Let's go. That time has passed. May I not pray at the wrong time? When you ought to have obeyed, you are now praying. To obey is better than speaking in tongues. Let me say this as I close. During hard times, we all face hard times. Sometimes the hard times may be in different aspects of our lives, your career, your finances. Sometimes your health is shaking. Sometimes there's a storm in your home. Sometimes things just go in a direction you didn't expect. During hard times, never change your course. See it as an opportunity to strengthen your conviction. Never mind close. So that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he mentioned the fact that he had a difficult period. The angel of Satan, which he called it. So that I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. 2 Corinthians 12:8. And my grace is sufficient for thee, says the Lord. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what did he do? He said, more gladly. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then I am strong. Contrary winds drive your roots deeper. Contrary winds, unexpected events, they drive your roots deeper. Then you will value your prayer life. You just keep praying. Then you keep studying. You go out to preach and things are happening badly in your career. Things are not going fine in your finances. And you are still preaching the gospel like nothing happened. What are you doing? You are only reinforcing your conviction. Come rain, come shine. Good, bad times, nice times, lovely times, uncomfortable moments. I remain resolute on what I'm doing. Those tough moments. Moments where others will be given to tears. You stay on course. Those are not the times to develop strange habits, strange associations, strange ambitions. People hardly recover. They hardly do. Jesus said, no man can look 9. Let's see it together. Look 9. Verse 62. He said, no man having put his hands on the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom of God. He's not talking about salvation. No. He's talking about discipleship, service. He came and said, come follow me. Verse 57. And then verse 59. He said, follow me. He said, oh, let me go and bury my grandfather. He said, no. He called him, come follow me. He said, I want to go home and tell them I'm going to work for God. He said, no. When you hear it, you respond. He said, no man who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. I've seen that in true life experience. I've not seen anybody who abandoned this work of the ministry to pursue career, business, build a home, build a marriage, that has ever come back the same way. I've never seen it. I've asked those ahead of me, my seniors, my elders, and we've come to the same conclusion. Many who left Nigeria in the 90s, 80s, to go after golden fleece in Canada, America, they live in regret today. I'm not saying God hasn't sent some. Some were sent. Some went because of golden fleece, opportunities, visa lottery, comfortable lives. They never recovered. No man puts his hand on the plow and looks back. The moment you leave it to go and do something else, you will never come back and meet the same thing. The moments of hardness, let it toughen you. Let it toughen you. Let it toughen you. Let it drive the roots of your convictions deeper. At that moment, while you'll be tempted to be checking your account, checking whether there's more money, check your physical health. So your spiritual health. Check your prayer life. I'm still praying. I'm still fasting. I'm still walking in love. I'm still obedient to authority. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm still punctual in church.
I'm still attending to my duties regularly. I've lost my job, but I've not lost my passion. I've lost money, but I've not lost my treasures. I've lost fame, prominence, career relevance, but I have not lost the fire. May that be your testimony all your life. Let your convictions be driven deeply. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in the things that you have learned. Continue. So say continue. Say continue. Brother Higgins said this, I will never forget. So when the storms of life come, just keep doing what you are doing. Just keep doing it. Keep praying. Continue your devotion. I'm not saying you should not attend to it at all. Continue what you're doing. Continue. Let's continue. Storms don't last always. They don't. Storms don't last always. It will go. I've seen many come and go. It will go. But don't lose your passion. It may take too long to build it again. How many of you can go for the grace of God? You can look back and know that truly, passion you have today, the ministry you are in today, the church you are in today, it took a lot of concentration. Who knows that? A lot of effort to take your eyes off distraction. Now imagine to now abandon it, to now start all over again. Why not just endure it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 and 4, endure this as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Enjoy it. Don't be entangled. Simple observations. Watch the meetings that were precious to you. Make sure they are still precious to you. The people you honor, you respect, make sure they can still talk to you. The events you look towards, that early morning devotion you always have, that early morning quiet time, don't joke with it. That vigil you have every week, don't joke with it. Let no career take it away from you. Let no marriage, child bearing, take it away from you. Let no academic pursuit take it away from you. While the heir of others may not mean anything to them, Samson's heir was a symbol of consecration. While some may do it, you will do the same thing and you will not be able to get away with it. Some may trivialize prayer, not you. Some may take prayer in a frivolous way, not you. You already know the value of it. Others may, but you can't. Some people will do something and get away with it. You cannot. You won't be able to. Because I can just marry anybody. I can just travel anywhere. I know the world. The only God will be. You will see. No, may you not see it. Others may be able to do it. You won't be able to get away with it. And there are some others will do. You cannot afford to do it. Let each man abide where he is called. There are things I can do, you dare not do it. The most useless is part of the head. Don't compare yourself. So, brothers and sisters, have a health code. The midst of the trials, tribulations that we all pass through. Different things happen to you. Different troubles of this life. Ensure that you remain consistent. Make sure your health is fine. Check your spiritual blood pressure. Fine. Outside may be looking rough. Money may have come down. Challenges here and there. But just check your BP. Check your heart. Check your motives, they're fine. Check your fasting, fine. Self-control, it's okay. You're checking your body now. Your physical body, your spiritual body. Check your vision on your sight. I still have the same vision to reach the body of Christ, to teach the gospel still in place. Check your hearing. I still hearing from God. I'm still obedient. I'm still submissive. I'm fine. Some people are wealthy. They have good houses. But they are nurturing terminal disease. So people have money, and that's all they have. You can buy everything, but you'll not be able to buy good health and welfare. That's why even rich people, wealthy billionaires, they die with all their billions. So check your health. Check your spiritual health. Are you still hearing well? Spiritually? Is it seeing well? Are you speaking well? Are your muscles still right? Are you still pumping well? Is your seal still in the right place? Are you walking in the spirit well? Are you contending well for the faith? Have a wellness code. Let us pray. Hey, how did you cope during the last trials and temptations you faced? How did you bear when you had a terrible trouble with your health? Trouble with your finances, with your career? Did you back under pressure? Let us pray. Let us pray. Pray, 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 pray. Do a checkup now. Do a checkup. Women, check your anger. Check your anger. Your emotions.